You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Hello, campus cronies. Welcome back to Campus Crime Chronicles. I'm your host, Dr. Nicole Turner, higher education professional and true crime addict. In every episode of this podcast, I take a deep dive into some sort of true crime that occurred on a school campus or a crime that's associated with a college or university in some way. For each episode, I rate the seriousness of the crime from 1 to 5 on my serious crime scale, with 1 being completely not serious, possibly even a little humorous from time to time, to 5 being very serious. This episode is rated a 4. On March 8, 2024, 4 buses filled with Delta Chi fraternity brothers from the University of Missouri arrived in Nashville, Tennessee for a private event, the fraternity's spring formal. Upon their arrival, the college students wasted no time hitting the streets of Nashville to visit the multitude of honky-tonk bars on Broadway. But unfortunately, their celebratory night ended in tragedy when one of the fraternity members, 22-year-old senior Riley Strain, went missing. 2 weeks later, Riley's body was found in the Cumberland River. This episode is titled, A Tragic Accident. So without further ado, let's get started. Riley Strain was born in Springfield, Missouri on January 2, 2002 to his mother, Michelle, and father, Ryan. Growing up, Riley quickly became an outdoor adventurer, whether it be hunting, fishing, or simply going to the lake to enjoy the peaceful views. He loved the outdoor life so much that he was even presented an award, a Presidential Medal for Volunteering, which he earned after completing over 500 hours of volunteer work with the Wonders of Wildlife National Museum and Aquarium. In his spare time, Riley also enjoyed playing tennis and learning the art of jiu-jitsu. Riley graduated from Kickapoo High School in Springfield, and he went on to attend college at the University of Missouri in Columbia. In college, Riley majored in business and financial planning, and he joined the Delta Chi fraternity. During the spring semester of Riley's senior year in college, Riley traveled to Nashville with several members of his fraternity for their spring formal. According to the reporting of NBC affiliate WSMV4, on March 8, 2024, 4 separate buses carrying Delta Chi brothers arrived in Nashville at around 4:30 p.m. After quickly checking into their hotel, the fraternity brothers were already drinking on Nashville's famous Broadway Street just 30 minutes later by 5 p.m. According to the reporting of Rebecca Eisen for People.com, the group of guys went to multiple bars that night, you know, truly making the most of their Nashville experience. At some point toward the middle of their night at around 8 p.m., Riley called his mom, Michelle, on FaceTime from where she thought was Garth Brooks's bar, Friends in Low Places. Michelle said that was the last time she talked to her son. She said, quote, "We FaceTimed for a while. He wanted me to see around and he was so excited. Then we hung up and he texted me and he was like, it was kind of hard to hear you, but I wanted you to see what was happening. I said, well, you boys be safe. Make good choices. I love you guys. And he said, I love you too. And that's it. That's the last I have heard from him." End quote. Sometime after this call to his mom, Riley and his friends made their way down the street to country star Luke Bryan's bar called Luke's 32 Bridge Food and Drink. While there, Riley ordered 1 alcoholic drink the whole time, as well as 2 waters. However, WSMV4 reported that by 8:40 p.m., Riley had begun to stumble around repeatedly while inside Luke's bar. About an hour later, at 9:38 p.m., Riley was escorted out of Luke's 32 Bridge by a bouncer. Apparently, staff inside the bar had issued an alert, like among the employees, saying Riley was getting aggressive with employees. But according to surveillance footage that was later released by the bar, Riley appeared willing to leave, though he was visibly wobbly as he was escorted down the stairs. At one point in the footage, Riley even appeared to laugh with the bouncer as he was making his way toward the exit. Now, although Riley was in the bar with several frat buddies, Riley had been hanging out in a different area than most of them, so only one of his friends was even aware that Riley was being thrown out. According to the reporting of Taste of Country, that one friend tried to defuse the situation, but was unsuccessful. So after Riley left, the friend went to the other side of the rooftop bar and informed their group of what had just happened. Now, I'm not sure exactly what happened next with Riley's friends because source accounts vary. But Riley's stepfather, Christopher Whiteed, told People.com that the friends attempted to leave and follow Riley out, but, quote, the bouncers wouldn't let them out with him, that they were trying to get their bill paid, end quote. According to Taste of Country, however, when the friends finally were able to make their way out of the bar to leave with Riley, they came up short and he was nowhere to be found, but they really did make a solid effort to try to find him. Regardless, when Riley was kicked out, he ended up outside of the bar, on the streets of downtown Nashville, alone. And from the looks of the surveillance footage when he left, he was highly intoxicated. Once outside, Riley spoke with one of his fraternity brothers on the phone at 9:47 p.m. That fraternity brother would later tell police that Riley was speaking with a slurred speech, but he indicated that he was going to make his way back to their hotel. The group was staying at the Tempo Hotel by Hilton in downtown Nashville, which is only about 5 blocks away from Broadway. Unfortunately, though, surveillance footage showed that Riley actually headed in the opposite direction of where they were staying. Later into the next morning, at around 1 a.m., Riley's friends returned to the hotel to discover that Riley was not in his room and he was not answering his phone. As they continued trying to reach him, their calls began going directly to voicemail, which indicated his phone had either died or it had been turned off. The friends also tried to find Riley using the Snapchat app, but that too was unsuccessful. The next day, when Riley still hadn't returned to the hotel and his friends were still unable to reach him, they called 911 on March 9th, 2024, and reported their friend missing. As Metro Nashville police got to work on the case and began searching for Riley, his friends called his mom, Michelle, to inform her that her son had gone missing. According to People.com, Michelle and her husband, Christopher, immediately jumped in the car and made the roughly 7-hour drive from Springfield, Missouri to Nashville, Tennessee. Christopher said, quote, I was literally getting ready to tee off on the golf course when my wife called me, and I turned around, went and loaded all my stuff off the golf cart, and told my friend that I was sorry I had to leave, end quote. Meanwhile, back in Nashville, police also tried to reach Riley's cell phone, but to no avail. Then they checked with all the hospitals and jails in the metro, but nobody matching Riley's description had come in. Over the next several days, police not only began looking into Riley's phone records and phone pings, but they also began collecting surveillance video from as many establishments as possible in downtown Nashville, trying to piece together Riley's last movements. 3 days later, by March 12th, news of Riley's disappearance had been blasted all over the media, gaining widespread national attention. Luke Bryan himself even took to Instagram and posted a statement from his bar, which is run by TC Restaurant Group, to his Instagram story. The statement read, quote, TC Restaurant Group, operator and owner of Luke's 32 Bridge, is continuing to work closely with the Metro Nashville Police Department to provide security camera footage and any other potentially helpful information to aid in the search for Riley Strain. Our thoughts are with his family and loved ones for his safe return. End quote. Then, above the statement, Luke Bryan wrote in all caps, Y'all, this is scary, praying for his safe return. Luke also added an additional slide to the post with photos of Riley and a number to call for any tips or sightings. Later in the evening of March 12th, the Metro Nashville Police Department released surveillance footage of Riley. It showed him stumbling across the street, and at 9:47 p.m., he could be seen crossing from right to left, First Avenue to Gay Street. The next day, on March 13th, Michelle and Christopher learned from police that nobody matching Riley's description had been found in the morgue or had been taken to the hospital by ambulance. After hearing the news at the time, Christopher told People.com, quote, "It wasn't good news, but it wasn't bad news. It was news that we still have opportunities to find him," end quote. At a press conference, Riley's family extended a plea to their son. They said, quote, "We're looking for you. We are not leaving until we have you. We're going to be with you at graduation, and everything's going to be fine. We're going to get you. We know you're out there," end quote. While police were working on their investigation into Riley's disappearance, the Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission, or TABC, also launched an investigation of their own. Specifically, they needed to look into whether or not Riley was served alcohol despite being visibly intoxicated on surveillance footage. In a statement to People, TABC Communication Director Aaron Rummage said, quote, "There are no specific rules or statutes that governs escorting out intoxicated persons from their businesses or providing assistance in getting someone home. However, state law prohibits serving alcoholic beverages to someone who is visibly intoxicated. A violation is a Class A misdemeanor. The TABC has opened an investigation into this matter to see if any violations have occurred," end quote. Then, also in a statement to People, the TC Restaurant Group said they were cooperating with the investigations by providing any information needed. The statement read, quote, "This information included all security camera footage, photos of Riley at our establishment with detailed timestamps, transaction records, and staff accounts. Additionally, we proactively engaged in communication with the Tennessee Alcoholic Beverage Commission and will continue to communicate and provide any records needed to aid their ongoing investigation," end quote. As Metro Police were collecting surveillance videos, screening tips, and conducting interviews, they discovered that his phone last pinged less than a mile from Luke's 32 Bridge. It pinged in Public Square Park near the Cumberland River, a large river in downtown Nashville that runs perpendicular to Broadway Street and parallel to both First Avenue and Gay Street. Following Riley's disappearance, a large search commenced, including community volunteers and many of Riley's friends and family. The search also consisted of helicopters, airboats, and hovercrafts. However, a real break in the case didn't come until 9 days after Riley's disappearance. You see, many of the locals took it upon themselves to scour the banks of the Cumberland River, and they were looking for any signs of Riley or signs that he might have fallen into the river in his intoxicated state. By now, they had a working theory that he might have accidentally stumbled into the river and tragically drowned, given his state of intoxication. But at this point, it was still just a theory. On March 17th, two women, Anna Klimdenning and Brandy Bainan, both described as TikTokers, found Riley's bank card on an embankment between Gay Street and the Cumberland River. When interviewed about their discovery, Klimdenning said, quote, "I don't really know how we found it. I would love to just say dumb luck, divine intervention. It was just sitting there," end quote. Then Bainan added, quote, "Something needed to be found. We found something. I don't know if that's something enough," end quote.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and Fleet Services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.
Now, on this same day, March 17th, 2024, I can only imagine the rush of emotions Riley's family was feeling, because not only was Riley's bank card discovered, but WSMV4 reported that there was a body found in the river the same day. However, the Nashville Fire Department confirmed that the body did not match Riley's description. And I'm sure Riley's parents breathed a sigh of relief, because it meant there was still hope for their son to be found alive. Continuing with the timeline, the next day on March 18th, Metro Nashville Police released another video of Riley from the night he vanished. But this time it was from police body camera footage. Yes, you heard that right. You see, the night Riley disappeared, he walked by Officer Reginald Young and the two had a brief exchange of greetings. The body cam footage, with a timestamp of 9:52 p.m., showed Riley walking down the sidewalk along Gay Street as Young was posted on Gay Street in response to a vehicle burglary. As Riley moved past Officer Young, Young asked Riley, quote-unquote, "How are you doing, sir?" And Riley replied, quote-unquote, "I'm good. How are you?" Then Riley continued walking down the sidewalk while Young remained posted on the street for another 45 minutes. The Metro Nashville Police Department said in a social media post, quote, "No video has been discovered that shows Riley away from Gay Street after the 9:52 p.m. timeframe," end quote. And I feel like I can probably guess what some of you are thinking, but I will say I've seen the body cam video and Riley did not appear in distress at the time. In my opinion, he appeared tipsy at best, but he did not look overly inebriated, and no signs in this interaction pointed to Riley needing help or assistance from the officer. But I do recommend you Googling that video and watching it for yourself, because I'm anxious to hear y'all's thoughts too. Do you think there was more the officer could have done? Or do you agree with me and, sadly, believe there was no way the officer could have known in that moment and brief interaction that Riley was so intoxicated that he was basically lost and wandering around Nashville, unable to find his hotel, in need of someone to help him get to a safe place? Yeah, so y'all let me know. Anyway, the day after that, on March 19th, a close friend of the family's, Chris Dingman, spoke to News Nation and revealed one of the last text messages Riley had sent, allegedly. According to Dingman, a young woman Riley was seeing sent him a text to see how he was doing and asking him if he was having fun. In response, Riley sent somewhat of a cryptic text back saying, quote-unquote, "good lops." Dingman described it as unclear slang, so unclear that the young woman had to Google it to see if it meant anything particular. However, Dingman pointed out that it simply reflected Riley's state of mind at the time, meaning he was probably intoxicated and the message was nothing more than a typo rather than some weird cryptic slang. However, in a separate interview, Riley's mom, Michelle, said she wasn't sure who the young woman was. Michelle said, quote, "He's got several friends that are female, male. I don't know the individual he talked to at the time," end quote. But at a press conference the next day, the family said they did not know for certain who his last text was to. Instead, they offered, quote, "We know that Riley was possibly texting and communicating with multiple people. We don't know the exact timeline or who the last person was," end quote. Regardless, by March 20th, Riley's family told ABC News that they were starting to have those extremely difficult conversations about Riley's fate. Riley's stepdad, Christopher, said, quote, "Everybody knows it. Everybody's thinking it. Those conversations are starting to happen. It's not what we want. And I understand that people want to know what we're feeling. We're feeling frustrated. We're feeling hurt. We're feeling depressed. Nobody knows what happened to Riley," end quote. But just 2 days later, the family's worst nightmare became a reality. At around 7:28 a.m. on March 22nd, 2024, a man working with a crew on the Cumberland River dialed 911. He had discovered a body. The man told the 911 operator that he was located at River Marker 184 near 1740 61st Avenue North. And he stated, quote, "I have just found a dead body. I believe it to be Riley," end quote. He went on to describe the body as a Caucasian male wearing a black and white shirt, which is the color of shirt Riley was wearing on the night he disappeared. The man also explained that the body was face down in the water, fully submerged, but part of his back was facing up out of the water. The man explained that he had to move a log off the head to confirm it was actually a body he was seeing. Then he told the operator his company was requesting police and rescue. A short time later, the fire department had pulled the body out of the water, and a medical examiner reviewed it at the scene and confirmed it was, in fact, Riley Strain. Later that day, the Metro Nashville Police Department held a press conference announcing that Riley's body had been found. During the conference, Chief John Drake said, quote, "Mr. Strain still had the shirt on that he was wearing, still had the watch and other identifying factors that helped us identify who he is," end quote. Chief Drake also explained that there was no evidence that suggested anything other than a tragic and unfortunate accident. He said, quote, "There are no signs of foul play at this time, according to the examination here at the riverbank," end quote. He went on to say that an autopsy would be conducted to determine Riley's official cause and manner of death. However, he added that police had suspected that if Riley was in the river, based on his height and weight, his body would surface between 14 to 20 days. The day he was found was right on the mark. It was the 14th day he had been missing. Concluding the press conference, Chief Drake thanked everyone for their help and support, mentioning that over 200 tips had come in from the community. Metro Nashville Police also released a statement after Riley had been found that read, quote, "The body of Riley Strain was removed from the Cumberland River in West Nashville this morning, approximately 8 miles from downtown. No foul play-related trauma was observed. An autopsy is pending," end quote. So now that Riley had been found, the real question was, how did he end up in the river that night? His cause and manner of death wouldn't officially be revealed until after a full autopsy was completed a few months later. But in those weeks and months of waiting for that report, the theory started swirling. For starters, about a month later, on April 17th, Riley's mom, Michelle, revealed another text message she had received from her son on the night he disappeared. She told News Nation that he had texted her about a rum and coke he had ordered, though she wasn't sure which bar he was at the time. But she went on to say that Riley told her the drink didn't taste good, adding that it tasted like barbecue. Michelle texted him back saying, quote unquote, "Well, that sounds awful." Riley responded with, quote unquote, "Well, it sounds good, but it's not." So Michelle wondered if some sort of drug might have been in the drink. She explained, quote, "Maybe there was something in it that shouldn't have been," end quote. It was also revealed that Riley did not have his wallet, pants, or cowboy boots on him when his body was recovered from the water. So another theory by community members and web sleuths was that perhaps Riley stumbled into a camp of unhoused people and that maybe they attacked him or mugged him. Some people even claimed that they saw an unhoused person wearing Riley's boots. Apparently, according to a random person on Reddit, there was a video circulating on TikTok of an unhoused man wearing Riley's boots walking around near like the bridge, the walking bridge. But I have not seen that video, so I take that with a grain of salt. However, according to the New York Post, it was reported that one local unhoused man saw a quote-unquote very, very intoxicated man who matched the description of Riley almost fall over the edge of a trail into the Cumberland River. Also in 2024, family friend Chris Dingman spoke to the media and revealed that they believed Riley was wearing a belt the night he went missing. According to the reporting of Catherine Donlevy for the New York Post, the family said this just raised more questions and added more potential for foul play. Dingman said, quote, "Everybody we've talked to about that, as soon as we found out he had a belt on that night, was like, wow, that totally changes the dynamic of why those articles are missing," end quote. Dingman explained that they believed his belt should have secured his pants around his waist and kept the pants from being ripped off. Dingman said, quote, "Riley had a swimmer's body. With the belt being on his hips, that would have been even more hard for the pants to come off in the water. It literally would have been snug to him. It would have been riding on his hips. The belt is a big piece of the puzzle that we now have and once again raises more questions," end quote. During his interview, Dingman claimed that investigators were eyeing several persons of interest at the time, despite a preliminary autopsy that had come out by then, which stated Riley died of accidental causes and suffered no obvious signs of trauma. Dingman said, quote, "It's very brutal on the family right now. We're at the stage where we want answers. We're blessed to bring Riley home, but now we want answers," end quote. Another theory was that Riley was a victim of the smiley face killer, a prominent theory that a killer or killers have and are murdering drunken men, tossing their bodies in some sort of body of water like a river, and then leaving graffiti of a smiley face somewhere nearby. But there was no smiley face anywhere around the area, so that theory was pretty much debunked, as in, no. Anyway, all the theories except for one were put to bed after Riley's official autopsy was released on June 18th, 2024. And that theory was that Riley was intoxicated and somehow, accidentally, fell into the Cumberland River as he was trying to find his way back to the Tempo Hotel. According to CBS News, the autopsy was performed by the Davidson County Medical Examiner's Office. It revealed that Riley's cause of death was accidental drowning and ethanol intoxication. According to Taste of Country, his blood alcohol level was 0.228, three times the legal limit to drive, and he had Delta 9 in his system, which is a THC compound, you know, the hallucinogen found in marijuana. So, in other words, according to Taste of Country, Riley was quote-unquote really drunk and more than a little high. This means that there were drugs in his system, but there was no evidence whatsoever that he was drugged, especially because in the toxicology report, there were no central nervous system depressants detected. Also, according to the reporting of Taste of Country, the preliminary autopsy report had said there was no water found in his lungs, which is what really led to all those conspiracy theories and even accusations of a cover-up. Because no water means he couldn't have drowned, but rather he must have died before he went into the water. However, the official autopsy confirmed that this was not the case. Rather, the autopsy stated that there was evidence of a pulmonary edema and pleural effusions, meaning there was water in both his lungs and his chest cavity. So, officially, Riley's death was ruled as an accidental drowning. The thing is, Riley's family couldn't accept that he died by accident. They couldn't help but feel like there had to be more to the story, more of an explanation. Because let's face it, it's hard for our brains to accept unfortunate accidents like this. We always think we will feel better if there is an explanation that shows something more caused a death besides our own unfortunate choices or even just by unfortunate coincidences. Like, it doesn't seem logical. So Riley's family ordered a second autopsy, and they hired personal injury lawyers Morgan & Morgan to investigate, as well as private investigator Steve Fisher. In July 2024, Fisher completed a 281-page report of his findings of what he believes happened to Riley. He sent the report to Riley's family, along with an accompanying 49-minute video containing important pieces of surveillance from when Riley initially disappeared. Essentially, his last moments alive. According to People.com, as posted on X by Steve Fisher, the report includes over 104 hours of surveillance footage from more than 20 different cameras. In his social media post, Fisher said, quote, "Riley can be tracked throughout the entire evening, from dinner until 9:58 p.m. With so much data already released, the family may decide not to read my report at this time. It is a lot to rehash, and the accompanying video will undoubtedly be hard to watch," end quote. Also in his report, Fisher addressed Riley's belt, or actually the lack of a belt. According to the reporting of Taste of Country, Fisher included a picture taken of Riley the night he disappeared, and he believes from the angle that one can see that Riley is not wearing a belt. So that pretty much also debunks the belt theory posed by Riley's family. But if that's the case, then how did Riley's pants come off in the river? Well, in my personal opinion, which I do share with others out there because I've heard it from other people, there's a really good potential explanation for Riley's pants to be missing, belt or not. Y'all, I think he might have stopped along the river to pee, which is what boys do, especially when they are this inebriated. And that means he likely had his pants down when he fell in. Now, imagine Riley's body being on the bottom of the river for those 2 weeks. Taste of Country reported, that would be like being thrown into a washing machine for 2 whole weeks. As in, he was quite literally tossed around and dragged on the bottom of the river for 14 days. So I can definitely see how easily his boots and pants could come off. The most recent information in Riley's case came in August of this year, just a couple months ago. WSMV4 reported that TABC concluded its investigation and determined that based on Riley's blood alcohol level, he likely consumed between 12 and 15 alcoholic drinks on March 8th, prior to his disappearance. But despite the amount of alcohol he consumed, TABC determined that he had not been overserved that evening. Wait, what? How is that even possible? Well, allow me to explain. You know how the college students traveled to Nashville on those buses, on a roughly 6 to 7 hour drive? Well, despite the drivers being perfectly clear that no alcohol was allowed to be consumed on the buses, and despite them making every effort to enforce that rule, Delta Chi fraternity members told police that they were still able to sneak drinks on the trip. One of Riley's fraternity brothers told police that Riley had consumed at least 5 drinks on the way to Nashville, including 2 vodka shots and 3 IPAs, or beers. Then, as TABC was combing through bar footage, they discovered that Riley was only served alcohol 3 times throughout the entire night, and the footage they found showed no indication that Riley was visibly drunk when he was served. Therefore, it's unclear how and where he consumed all 12 to 15 drinks. Regardless, by 8:40 p.m., about 3.5 hours into their night on Broadway, Riley began to stumble repeatedly, which then led to the argument between Riley and bar staff, and ultimately to him being escorted out at 9:38 p.m. Just a side note, but y'all got any thoughts on where Riley might have consumed those extra drinks? I'm thinking the bathroom and a flask was involved, but that's just my opinion. Anyway, I'd like to end this episode by circling back to Riley, who was described as having a vibrant spirit and loving soul. He was a kind and gentle human, and he loved the color green. He often quipped, quote, "Green makes you look good," end quote. So in that spirit, the family asked for those who attended his celebration of life to wear green in his honor. And now, I'd like to read you a portion of Riley Strain's obituary. It says, "Above all, Riley cherished time spent with family, creating lasting memories. Riley had a passion for good food, from the comfort of his mom's chicken parmesan to the zest of fajitas at local favorites like El Rodi in Bolivar and El Charro in Nixa, and took particular pride in grilling a steak to perfection. Riley's warm heart extended to a beloved trio of pets, Miles the Golden Doodle, Cooper the Red Heeler, and the German Shepherds, Vika and Vin. They brought Riley joy and companionship. Riley was preceded in death by his grandfather, Floyd Ray Strain. He is survived by his parents, Michelle and Chris Whiteed, Ryan and Millie Gilbert, siblings Brooke Dunbar and Brock Hale, and grandparents Rosalie Strain, Wayne and Eileen Whiteed, Deborah Gilbert, Robert and AJ Gilbert, and Clarence and Rosie Graves. Riley also leaves behind an extended family of uncles, aunts, and cousins that he was very close with and that love him very much. He was very close to his 10-year-old niece, Henley, and cousins Jake and Chelsea, plus a 2-year-old second cousin, Cooper." Okay, y'all, that officially brings us to the end of Chronicle 86. As always, be sure to check out my social media, where I post photos associated with each case and episode. You can find me at Campus Crime Chronicles on both Facebook and Instagram. Or you can follow my personal Instagram, which is at Nicole K. Lynn. That's N-I-C-O-L-E. K-A-L-Y-N-N. Also, y'all, I really need you to keep those reviews coming on Apple Podcasts. I promise it really does let others like you know that this podcast is out there. Okay, well, that's all for today. So bye for now. Campus Crime Chronicles is researched, written, and recorded by me, Nicole Turner, and it's edited and produced by Giari Gassaway. Campus crony Alexis McDonald is my research assistant. Tune in again in 2 weeks for the next Chronicle.
You can have it all. Great pay, awesome benefits, a flexible schedule, the chance to grow. At Cox, we're recruiting auto and diesel technicians to join our Manheim and fleet services teams. If you're ready for a new job and want to experience an award-winning workplace, drive your career forward with us. Visit cox.career/autotech to learn more. That's cox.career/autotech.